We have an invited special guest today. Today's guest is Dasher. She's a super polyglot YouTuber, also professional English teacher. So she has a passion for language learning. Today, I will ask some questions. The first question is, please tell us about yourself, where are you from, or YouTube channel, if you don't mind.
Yes, of course. Hi there, Masa. My name is Dasha. I live in the UK. I live in London. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from Ukraine, but I grew up in the UAE and in Cyprus. Mm-hmm. I've actually previously worked in the legal sector in litigation, and I now work in financial recruiting. But I have a passion, like you said, for languages. I have a YouTube channel. I teach English and give tips on learning languages. Mm-hmm. Because I lived in so many countries, I've picked up about 6-7 languages, and I thought I'd share my journey on YouTube with you as well, and also help people improve their English.
Okay, great. Fantastic. So next question is, so you mentioned you can speak more than 7 languages. So could you tell me your language journey?
Yes, of course. So my mother tongue is actually Russian. So I obviously speak Russian and not Ukrainian. I'm from Ukraine, but I'm from the part of Eastern Ukraine where we predominantly still speak Russian. And so I was, you know, born and raised in a Russian speaking household. But then when I was like 3-4 years old, we moved to the Emirates for my dad's business. So they put me in an English speaking kindergarten from a very early age. So that's where I picked up English. And then when I was about 8 years old, we moved to Cyprus. And in Cyprus, one of the main languages is Greek. So I learned Greek at school. I learned Greek, you know, whilst playing with children outside and immersing myself into the Greek speaking culture. And of course, in school, we were taught Greek, but the school that I went to, interestingly enough, was tied to the Vatican. So we were also taught French and Italian. So it was obligatory. We couldn't choose. So at school, we had very intense French classes, very intense Italian classes, because the whole idea was that we were prepared if we wanted to go and study either in France or in Italy, like straight to university. So that was great. And then eventually, when I got older, I met a German boy. we were together for many, many years. And as a result, I learned how to speak German. I took classes, of course, to do that. First, I learned it on my own. And then, of course, I realized I needed help. And I just wanted to build, you know, a closer relationship to him, to his family, to his culture, to really have an appreciation for it. So that's how I learned German. And then, so my brother, actually, interestingly enough, he lives in Japan. And he's had a passion for Japan since I can remember. And I thought he was nuts. But then I actually went to Japan. And, you know, again, I immersed myself in the culture, into the food, into the way of life. And I just fell in love with it. And I completely understood why my brother had this passion for Japan. And he bought me these Japanese learning books. I think it was Genki One. And I just started to learn a bit of Japanese as well. And that was like, that's my number 7 language, but it's still, you know, work in progress. It's so difficult. It's so difficult to find time to also learn it. And that's about it. That's it. That's my language journey.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Great journey. Third question is, I like your video. Are you making these pronunciation mistakes? So I think this topic is not only useful for English learning, but other language. So you talk about how pronunciation is important. So could you talk about this topic briefly again?
Yes, of course. Pronunciation is a very important element of, you know, of any person's language journey. You make yourself understood better. You sound more fluent. It will increase your, you know, your chances of being understood by a native English speaker, and it enhances communication. But we all tend to make a lot of mistakes. There's nothing wrong with that. Mistakes are great. We learn from them. We improve. And with pronunciation, no matter what language I think you're learning, you'll make four basic mistakes. And the first one is the use of phantom vowels. The second is pronounced, yes, the pronouncing foreign words like we pronounce them in our mother language, mispronouncing difficult, tricky sounds and speaking robotically. And I want to talk about these very briefly with you, just individually.
Okay.
Using phantom vowels is a very interesting phenomenon because we don't actually learn about it at school when we're like learning a language, right?
Yeah.
So I've heard a lot of, for example, speakers of Romance languages like Spanish, Italian, French, they add a vowel at the beginning or at the end of a word in English, for example, and it doesn't exist in English. That's how we pronounce the word in English. And the example I give in my video is very often I heard Spanish speakers say Spain. You know, it's very subtle, Spain, but it's Spain. Right. It's not Spain or España. Whereas, yes. Yeah. Whereas, of course, you can say España if you're speaking Spanish. But in English, we pronounce the country Spain like Spain. And yeah, so it's completely incorrect. And then the other extreme is people from certain, you know, language that speak certain languages. They, for example, in English, they don't pronounce the letter H, like the French, for example, because they don't have that in their language, which is understandable. But you need to practice English to the effect where, you know, you're conscious, for example, of these things, of phantom vowels, of the H not being silent in most cases. So, yes, you need to pay attention to this when you learn a new language.
Yes.
And then the biggest, I think, problem that people have is pronouncing words like they would pronounce them in their mother tongue. And I think this comes from, I think, a bit of laziness.
Yes, it's easier. Yeah, it's like,
Yeah, like because I'm a bit lazy to learn how to pronounce it correctly, and also a bit of arrogance. So laziness because people are lazy to learn the correct pronunciation in a different language. You know, you see a word and you think, oh, we have the similar word.
Yeah, similar word.
Yeah, similar word. No problem. Yeah, I'll pronounce it. Yeah, et cetera. Yeah. I'll pronounce it the same way. And that's incorrect. Yeah, and then I also say a bit of arrogance because it's a well-known fact that, you know, languages borrow words from each other, but those borrowed words are pronounced differently once they're adopted by another language.
Yes.
And I think it's arrogant to think that, well, just because a word was borrowed from, let's say my language, French, the only correct way to pronounce it is in French, you know, in my mother language. And I've seen this especially with, you know, Greek speakers, for example. You know, there are a lot of Greek words in English, right? For example, there's the Greek goddess of love called Aphrodite. In English, we say Aphrodite, in Greek, it's Aphrodite. Aphrodite. So both pronunciations are correct in their respective languages, but they cannot cross over to each other. It will be incorrect.
Yes.
So the solution here I propose is when you learn a new word, learn its pronunciation. You know how you learn a word and then you learn how to, you know, how to use it in different contexts.
Yes.
You write down examples.
Not memorize word, just listen to.
Just also pronounce it. Sit down for a couple of minutes. Just pronounce it. Go on Google Translate. Go in a dictionary. Listen to it. Record yourself. And then you will be able to pronounce it better. So that's one thing. And then the third, like I said, mispronouncing very tricky sounds of a language. So every language has a couple of sounds that are really difficult to pronounce. Like in Japanese, I think the most difficult sound for me would be the R. So it's a cross between a L and the R, because in Japanese you don't have L.
Yes.
Right.
R. Yes. Yes. Mm.
It's hard to pronounce it. And in French, the equivalent would be the R, the thicker.
Sound is very difficult.
Very difficult, right? Very different.
Yes, yes.
But in English, we say R.
R.
R. Yeah. So these are like, it's the same letter, but different sound.
Yeah.
So you need to practice these sounds regularly. You know, there's a lot of YouTube videos that teach just individual sounds, right?
Channel, yeah.
Yeah, you can practice with tongue twisters. Okay. You know, I don't know if you have them in Japanese, but like in English, we have like a lot of tongue twisters. And I know like in Greek, they do as well. In Russian, we have them. Mm. And they're just a really fun way to practice pronunciation. They're especially great because they help stretch and strengthen your muscles that you use when you speak.
Okay.
Yeah. And they will help you practice the sound that you're struggling to pronounce. Oh. So I highly recommend using something like a tongue twister. Mm. Yeah, those are great for tricky sounds. Okay. And I think the last thing that a lot of people struggle with is they speak too robotically when they speak a language. Mm-hmm. So they don't make it flow very, you know, very smoothly when they speak. They speak very robotically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I bet you've also heard people say, oh, you know, I don't understand this native speaker because he or she is speaking really, really fast.
Eerie for us, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, you think, oh my God, you know, speaking like a Ferrari, like really, really fast. Like, I don't understand what they're saying. But, you know, some people speak faster than others, of course. But in most cases, it's because native speakers of, let's say, French, English, and even Russian, they use what's called connected speech.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so this makes them sound as if they're speaking fast, but really they're not. And you will never hear a native speaker speaking very slowly like this and, you know, pronouncing each and every single syllable sound, you know, separately. Unless maybe, you know, if you're teaching English, if you're teaching Japanese, you will speak slowly, right? So that they understand you.
Only textbook, yes.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So it sounds very unnatural. So when you're when you're learning a language, you need to pay attention to this. And not be really afraid of people speaking fast. Just try to understand, to break up what they're saying in chunks and pieces, to really absorb it. And also identify what kind of forms of connected speech they use. Yeah. Like in French, there's liaison. Connected words. So identify them and practice them, just like sentences. Okay. Just read a text, read it out loud, practice it. And you'll definitely get there.
Mm.
Like in English, I just absolutely love using this example. We would never say, would you like a cup of coffee? You would say, would you like a cup of coffee? Would you like a cup of coffee? It sounds like a different language.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So the next question is, I also watch your video, how to start thinking in English. So 6 easy tips to stop translating in your head. So also, could you talk about this topic briefly again? It's just okay, just focusing English study or general language study.
Yes, exactly. I think these rules, they apply to any language that you're learning. They're not specific to English.
Mm.
And, you know, it's such an abstract concept, this idea of thinking in a different language. But the thing is, if you convert your inner voice, you know, your inside voice in your head to a different language, you're basically practicing speaking the language and you're getting your brain accustomed to a new language.
Okay.
You can't do this as a beginner. You know, I would never tell a beginner of any language to start thinking in that language because they don't have the basis for it yet. Intermediate, upper, and intermediate level, I would say you're ready for this.
Okay.
So there's different kinds of way to do this. The best number one way, it's like the top of the creme de la creme of ways, is to immerse yourself into a language. You need to make the language part of your daily routine. You need to hear it everywhere and you need to see it everywhere.
Yes,
obviously, this is impossible if you're not in the country where they speak that language, right? Like if I wanted to learn Japanese, it would be very hard for me to go to the Japan physically and be immersed myself. But what I could do is I can switch on the TV, I can watch the TV, I can switch my devices to a different language. Yeah. I can listen to podcasts. Mm. I can read the news. And the great thing about digital media is the fact, digital media, when I say that, I mean like YouTube, podcasts, just generally watching videos. You can pause, you can stop, you can go back, you can, you know, make it slower, you know, you can decrease the speed of the video to listen to the video slowly or even faster if you want.
It's what
you like. Mm. And so you're making that language part of your daily routine and everyday life. And it's a passive way to absorb a different language. It's not direct. You don't have to be like directly doing it, but it's passive. It's just there. And it will be in your head. I remember once I was like in Germany and I was like constantly watching like TV because we were at my partner's house. And I remember going to bed and I heard German everywhere, of course. But then I remember going to bed and having a dream in German. I didn't even speak German.
Great change.
Yeah. And it's just because my brain was already ready to take in some German, but it already knew a bit of German, or at least it knew how it sounded, which I thought was great. So yeah, this method definitely works. Definitely works. So without knowing it, you will, you know, listen to natural speech. Mm. So not like a teacher that's teaching you speaking slowly. It's natural speech. And you will learn different intonations and pronunciations. Mm. Great way. The second way is to, this is also one of my favorites, it's to learn phrases and expressions in chunks. In groups. Mm. And it's extremely effective.
Okay.
I used to keep a notebook for French, for example, and I would divide it into different categories, like, I don't know, shopping, talking about the environment, talking about health. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just put down different expressions that you would say in French when you're talking about this topic, not just vocabulary, like single verb, the words, but actual like sentences almost, or expressions. And you see, I think the problem is that people, they tend to translate in their head like word for word when they're speaking a foreign language, and it's a disaster. Like word by word, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because in English, we express ourselves in one way. In another language like Russian, we would never say it that way. Mm-hmm. I remember I once wrote an essay in Russian and I submitted it to my teacher, and she said, wow, you know, you sound like an English speaker wrote this and translated it from Google. And I just thought, oh no, it's because I was writing Russian as if I was English and not as if I were Russian. So to avoid this is, of course, like I said, to learn expressions. Like, let's say that you're reading a text, you're reading an article, news, and you find a word that you don't know. You can Google Translate it to find out the meaning, of course, but then find a few expressions that go with that word, you know, and learn those expressions. Because because what usually happens is that you learn a word, fantastic, great, you know the word, but you can only use it in specific contexts. Only certain situations, but it doesn't work for other situations. But you learned the word and you're still using it incorrectly.
Even though grammatically it's correct, but
the native speaker will tell you, oh, we don't say that in our language like that. We don't use that expression. It's correct grammatically. My husband always says that because he's French. I will say something and he's like, we don't say that in French. It's correct grammatically, but we don't say that in French.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, you can learn expressions. That's a great way to, you know, to improve your language skills. But learning vocabulary daily is also equally important, which is my third tip. Okay. It's to learn vocabulary daily. And you don't have to go crazy and learn 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 words a day. You can, no pressure.
Step by step, little by little.
Step by little by little, 5 words a day, nothing crazy. Because if you keep it to only, let's say, 5 words a day or 3 words a day, you can practice them every day. Yes. So I learned 3 today, 3 tomorrow, and you can repeat the 3 from the day before and keep going, and then you'll practice them and you'll know them very well.
Yeah.
And Yeah, so you can start with the basics, like, you know, what you have in your house. This is a pen, this is a computer, this is a carpet, learn those words. And, you know, when I moved to, so I remember when I moved to Switzerland, I studied there for a year in the French part of Switzerland in Lausanne, and I lived in a student accommodation, and I noticed that I didn't know how to say kettle in French, or I didn't know how to say, you know, those specific things in the kitchen that you will never learn at school. And I was always like to my friends, what is this? How do you say this in French? So, but what I could have done is, you know, when I was younger, I could have just like gone to the kitchen and then just like opened the cupboard and then talked to myself and then said, oh, this is that, this is this. It's good practice. So I would, and you would say those objects in the language that you're learning. So that's a great way to do it. And once you master those words, just the simple ones, you know, you can start reading articles, journals, the news and topics that you're interested in, and just basically take it from there. And then the other way, the fourth way I'd say is to, it's probably a very difficult one, but it's to find a person to speak with.
Also very useful.
Very useful, because a native speaker can correct you. You can listen very carefully to how they speak.
You can
mimic them, mirror them. So pronounce words the way they're pronouncing them, and you'll do it automatically without even knowing, I guarantee you, like when you speak to someone. And now that the COVID restrictions are easing, I think that, you know, people now have more and more opportunity to actually travel. And if you have the ability, like if your listeners have the ability, I would really recommend at least, you know, traveling once to a country and really immersing yourself, taking a language course somewhere abroad. You will learn in 2 weeks what you would have learned for 5 years if you were in your home country going to classes. It's just so effective. Another way would be also to hire a private tutor. Now that there's so many tutors out there, it's not especially expensive anymore to hire a tutor. Like there's Preply, there's languageexchange.com. I think languageexchange.com is free. So there's loads of resources, and you just need to find the one that works for you. Get a tutor, or just anyone really that speaks the language, and just try to speak with them. Don't be shy. Just speak to them. Don't be shy. And if you are shy and you can't travel and you can't find a tutor, fear not. My other tip for you would be to just talk to yourself, at least at the beginning. Talk to yourself out loud. You can, you know, narrate your day, wake up, you can start talking to yourself in your out loud. Why not out loud? Who cares? You're at home, you know, and you know, you'll end up learning new vocabulary on the way, because again, you know, you can go into the bathroom, you can say, okay, I'm going to pick up my toothbrush and I'm going to brush my teeth and I'm going to brush my hair. And, you know, you can just talk to yourself like that and you will broaden your vocabulary. You could, like, if you don't know how to say toothbrush, you could take your phone, quickly Google toothbrush, and you learned a word, like, in the morning already. Boom, you have a word. So that's great. Again, eventually those conversations you're going to have with yourself are going to become a bit more complex. And maybe they will translate into thoughts in your head. And you'll start thinking in your head. So it's just like, that's the start of it, you know, start small and then it will go bigger. You don't need to rush it. It will come naturally. Just be patient, small steps at a time, and you'll get there. That's what I have for you.
Okay. So finally, could you give a message to those who want to study a language in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually gave this quite a bit of thought. Because, you know, I could say, find a great tutor, buy a good book. but I've already said that. I think my message is the following. So to all of you who are about to start learning a new language, my biggest tip would be to find your why. So why should I learn the language? Why should I learn Spanish, for example? Why do you want to learn the new language? because simply wanting to learn a language because, you know, it's cool, it's fun, it's not enough to keep you going and motivated in the long term. Bear in mind that it's going to be a very long and hard journey, and you'll feel like giving up midway. It's natural. We're only human. So if you find your why, it will be the motivator for you to keep pushing and progressing. So my other tip for you within this tip is, if you want to truly find the reason for learning a language, you should ask yourself why at least 5 times.
Okay.
So for example, I'll give you an example. I want to learn Spanish because I want to study in Spain. Okay, that's great. But why do you want to study in Spain? I want to study in Spain because I love the culture. Okay. Why do I love the culture? You know, and you just keep going until you narrow down the true reason that's like in your heart and your soul. And eventually you'll dig deeper into your psyche and understand the true reason and passion that will drive you to learn the language. And it will be the reason that you won't give up.
Motivation.
That will be your motivation. So find your why.
Darsha, thank you so much for answering our questions. I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much.